Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, folks. This week, Bridie and I sit down with Abby Jensen, or as you may know her from her Instagram, as Vibe Slut, the host of the Rat Girls podcast, which Brody was recently featured on. We had a lovely conversation all about keeping your sex life fucking sexy. And it was an absolute joy. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as we did. And be sure to go check out Rat Girls podcast. Go check out Abby on her Instagram. Just an absolute wealth of knowledge, and she's the absolute best. We love this, we love her, and we love you. Enjoy.
Okay, well, welcome back to the Turn Me On recording studio. Nice to have you all here and lovely to have our guest here today. Very excited to welcome you in, Abigail. But we go by Abby, I think. You go by Abby? Yeah, Abby Jensen, comedian, writer, and pleasure-positive host of Romance and Smut Book Clubs, ooh, as well as the Rack Girls podcast, which she co-hosts with Gracie Madrid. And this podcast is about girlhood, relationships, and sex. And I was lucky to be a guest just last week on that podcast. Head on over there, wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out that episode and get a little flavor of what Abby and Gracie are.
You're good. We're good. You're coming in nice and clear. That's all good.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Something paused.
It's okay.
She's completely made of pixels. And we're so happy to have her here in the studio. So welcome, Abby.
Thank you so much for having me. Having you on the pod was so wonderful. Your insights were like amazing. I've had so many people reach out saying how much they learned.
Well, and I need to thank you for your editing job, because I know that I got home from that episode recording, or I came back to the studio like the next day. I was talking to Jeremy and he was like, how'd it go? And I don't know if you ever have this. I mean, I don't think I've ever had this as the host of this podcast, but I've certainly had it when I've guested on other people's podcasts. The shame spiral of like,
oh,
what did I say? How did I like represent myself? And And there was there were a couple of things that when I listened back, I'm like, well, I'm glad that's not in there. So thank you for that. And I'll fill you all in privately later on what I said that I'm glad was redacted.
I have that same shame spiral after going on people's podcasts. Once on a podcast, I said jokingly, I was making a joke that I wanted my mom to cheat on my dad.
Great joke. I love it.
Yeah. And now here I am repeating it. But I was like, oh my God, like this is, you know, this is the worst thing I could say on a podcast. Cause you don't have the control. It like totally freaks you out.
That's the hard part about it. Like, especially podcasts where, you know, there's not a lot of format. It's just a fucking hang. Mm-hmm. You kind of forget, you know, you forget that you are sometimes literally having a conversation, quote unquote, in front of a, you know, the crypto stadium amount of people. You know what I mean? Like you are speaking to sometimes hundreds of thousands of people, but you forget because you're just, whether
I'm
you're
just
in a room
talking to you.
Or you're on a fucking like Zoom call or whatever, and the shit that just kind of slides out of your mouth, you just sort of, you just fucking doesn't dawn on you. But no regrets, you know, Brad?
No, I mean, not until AI grabs my voice and starts like making me say all kinds
two
of
months.
Crazy
give it,
shit.
Give it 2 months. Abby, I would love, I mean, before we kind of get into getting to know you better, tell us a bit about the podcast, Rat Girls Podcast. Firstly, yeah. I want to know why, what's with the name Rat Girls? And like, what is the sort of, the objective with this show that you recently started?
If you had listened to my episode, you would have the answer to your first question.
I only have so many hours in the day, Bridie.
Sick of hearing me talk.
Well, Rat Girls is, you know, we're rodents, we're feral, we're living life imperfectly, figuring it out like all little rodents do. We're running around, scurrying, just trying our best, nibbling on some cheese. That's where Rat Girls came from. Mm-hmm. Our goal with the podcast is kind of to just demystify conversations and offer a beginner's guide to things that women across the board experience, but maybe no one is talking about candidly. So some episodes are about sex, like Bridie came on and talked about masturbation, which was amazing. And then we also have some that are just about like friendship breakups or different things like that, that women experience, that taking an inside look into those and how to handle them.
Cool. I love that. That's great.
Yeah. Super helpful. It's such a different landscape for women now that there are podcasts like that, because like, I think I expressed this to you in our conversation, on Rat Girls, but like I grew up in a small town where, like the intrasexual competition game was very high and young women were always just mostly in competition with one another. And the pool of people at my school was very small. So I had like one or two best girlfriends, but there was always, I don't know, there was always a certain level of guardedness in terms of, well, first of all, what we even knew to talk about, because in this small town that I grew up in, I, even apart from that, was pretty sheltered in terms of my exposure to like sex, drugs, you know, like parties, anything that a lot of like teenagers and young women are, it's like coming of age into. And like to be able to be a fly on the wall for other women's conversations now, it's like I've learned so much about girlhood and womanhood from listening to podcasts, conversations I've never even had with some of my closest friends, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Such a great resource.
Yeah, it does. It seems like there is this sort of, it seems like those types of podcasts are really blowing the fuck up. It's like, the one that comes to mind all the time is Call Her Daddy, that I'm just seeing like everybody is tuning in. And it is obviously an extraordinarily popular podcast, but it's one of those podcasts that started from literally nothing. It has a fantastic and fascinating story of the meteoric rise to where it's gotten to now. but, and I don't personally listen to it, but my partner does. And I was tuning in, casually while she was watching it the other day. She was talking to Marissa from the OC. I don't know the actual actress's name.
I can't help you.
But it was like, it was such a beautiful conversation. And it was, you know, again, like conversations about stuff that pertaining exactly to what you were just talking about right there. Just like the conversations that perhaps like you, Bridie, don't feel like you had access to as a woman growing up in a small town or, you know, what have you. Abby, like what was the, when you started the podcast, was it kind of just like a passion project, or did you have any sort of vision of like where you want to take this project?
Yeah. It started, I think, because, you know, my Instagram, I talk about sex on it and a lot of conversations in the same vein that maybe aren't being talked about openly. And that opened up a lot of those kind of conversations in my real life. Like I started talking to my aunts or like older women in my life who about certain things because they had never felt comfortable talking to anyone about it before. And I was just kind of out in the open doing it. And so they felt like that was permission to come to me. So that was really cool. And I was like, I bet there's a lot of women who are in this similar boat. Like you were saying, Brady, who like haven't had these conversations so candidly because they might not know who to talk to or feel like they don't have permission to talk to the people in their lives about these things. And that could be because the topics are considered taboo, or just as women, sometimes we don't want to be considered a burden. Mm. And so wanted to start the podcast as a way to, yeah, let people be a fly on the wall and know that these are things that are happening out there, and you know they're not alone, and it's okay to be having these candid conversations. And if you can't have them with people in your life, then you can overlisten to us have them.
Yeah, exactly. That I think that's the thing, like that, right? That's the part that makes it so enticing to folks, where it's maybe you don't have the friend group who's down, you know, who's down to like dive into topics that might be seen as like culturally taboo where you're from. But you can certainly fucking listen in the shower or while you're taking a shit or while you're driving to work or whatever the fuck you're doing. And that parasocial relationship that comes with, social media or podcasting, it's like you feel like you're a part of it, which I think is, I mean, I love that this just turned into like a fucking love letter to podcasting. God damn it. All right. Enough of the circle jerk. So, Abby, you're a comedian, but also, you know, talking about your Instagram, a lot of it is diving into sort of like the shit that you wish you learned in health class, which I love. Just a random question. How much of that content came from your affinity for comedy, or were they two separate things? You know, I just feel like there's an easy sort of in there as a comedian to dive into that shit. But yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, it definitely like fully came from my comedy. I was doing stand up and then also talking on TikTok about my like bad date stories and, you know, different vaginal infections I had come in contact with. And that kind of opened conversations for people that, you know, maybe weren't happening, and led me into the space of realizing, oh, like a lot of us hadn't learned this stuff in health class. So that just got me into women's health and then into sex education. But particularly like something I struggled with that I found a lot of women struggled with, was that I had almost never heard talked about openly, was like BV infections. I had been talking about the way my vagina smelled on TikTok, and people were like, that sounds like BV. And then I just had like, it turned out I had 11 chronic BV infections over and over again. And then when I found that solution, which was boric acid suppositories, I was like, oh my God, how did I not know about this? So it kind of made me want to talk online about the things that we should know about that we were not taught.
We talked about that a little bit on recording with you, but it reminds me as well, like when I was 18, I had these recurrent yeast infections, and I was going into the emergency room. It was a different time, and the waiting lines were not quite so epic. But I would go in, and I had been treated like 3 or 4 times. And this nurse pops her head into the room. I'm waiting to see the doctor, and she's like, "Look, I just thought I should come in here and ask, like, are you peeing every time you have sex?" And I was like, "No, like nobody told me that was a thing." And yeah, she was like, "Yeah, just make sure you do that." Problem solved. Like suddenly, it wasn't yeast infections. It was urinary tract infections. And that was like the key piece. I was like, that's such a key piece of information. But yeah, I guess there's no manual with this vulva.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah,
it's something we're all expected to know. And like with sex, it's something we're all expected to be good at. And it's like, no one teaches you just the basics ever.
No, absolutely not.
I, as someone who, you know, just kind of found themselves going down the sex education rabbit hole, early stages of that, like, where do you start? You know, because like the reason I ask is that your Instagram Vibe Slut, you can find the link in the show notes, is, I mean, it's great. Like it's fun. It helps that you have humor that goes along with it. But B, like it's, you know, from the stuff that I've kind of taken in over the last few weeks, it's a lot of just like really practical, interesting things to touch on. Like, you know, how to I don't even know if it's cowgirl, how to squat on a cock without like fucking your legs up, or like,
yeah,
you know, different positions that like that hit the clit in a certain way, or how to sit on someone's face. And you like I'm tuning in going, this is wow. Oh yeah. Fuck yeah. All right. Sweet. Like I'm learning and I'm not going to be sitting on anyone's face anytime soon, but now I have it in my head, and it was really fun to watch that. So where did you start when it came to like that sort of stuff of like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I started because I realized a lot of women hadn't had an orgasm. So that was my first how-to series, was because specifically a lot of older women in my life had not had orgasms. And I was like, oh my God, they're missing out on this amazing, beautiful thing. And so I deep dove into how to have an orgasm. I did, you know, I read like 10 books on it, did my own research and with my partner, which is fun for him. And then took that to Instagram and started to explain to people who maybe have never prioritized their pleasure how to have an orgasm. And then that just led me into doing the same thing for different things people might have questions about, like how to be on top during sex. A lot of women don't feel comfortable being on top. How to give a blowjob, how to, you know, do anal, just things, again, that we're expected to know that there's maybe no user manual for.
Yeah, or you can go into like a sex shop and look at sex toys, and there are libraries of sex books, and you can talk to a real human being about it, but not everybody feels like very comfortable in that environment either.
Yeah,
like
totally. I wanted to make sure it was like very accessible. I like to be like the Mr. Rogers of how to do things that are sexy, make people feel good and not ashamed, because it's not shameful at all.
I would love to kind of go through some of the, you know, some of your tips and like some of the things that people can think about. I mean, I've mentioned it a couple times, but like how to sit on someone's face. You know, I never thought I would think about what that is, but like,
or
I guess
how complicated it is.
Yeah, I guess when you think
out
about it, it's like, God, I guess, you know, you're doing something that could be fucking fatal if you don't do it correctly. and maybe not very comfortable if you don't know how to do it. So let's start with that one. How do you sit on a face?
Yeah, how do you sit on the face? The biggest, like, question I was asked about how to sit on a face, the most basic, was, do you squat or do you go all the way down and basically smush your partner's face?
suffocate them to death.
It'd be a happy dying because there'd be lots of booty to grab. But it found that the answer was fully subjective. The answer to that is talk to your partner, ask them what they prefer. And if you're afraid to speak up and talk, just squat. And then if your partner is comfortable, you know, go down further if that feels good to you. But the other biggest one was people didn't know if they were supposed to be moving while sitting on someone's face. And as long as the tongue can still touch the clit, I say do a little grind into their tongue or make little circles with your hips. But don't make them big enough that the tongue will lose its spot on the clit. But yes, it's totally normal to move while you're on top.
And then, okay, so in the inverse then, what about the person who is being suffocated? What are some you know, do you have any tips for that side? Because I, you know, again, it's like, I can imagine that there's more than that you can do to increase the pleasure of that experience. Other than just sitting there like a dead fish, having someone sit on your face.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think always holding the booty is great because then you can help guide the person on top. And it's when you're on top sitting on someone's face, it can be a little hard to balance. So just giving them that extra stability is great. And then just making out with the clit while someone's sitting on your face, using your tongue, asking your partner what tongue pressure feels good. But yeah, personal favorite is the clit flick. So just flicking the tongue back and forth on the clit. And then if your partner is also grinding into your mouth, that can help create even more sensation for them.
I guess I probably would have asked which direction do you face?
Right. Yeah, right. That's a big part of it. So in the series, I show you can face forward or back. Either have, you know, your clit towards their face or your booty towards their face. And if your clit's towards their face, then they can hold onto your booty for support. If your booty is towards their face, you can put your hands on their thighs to help support yourself. It's all personal preference. Some people whose faces are getting sat on like a big face of booty. So they the partner to sit with the booty in the face.
Okay. Yeah. Beard or no beard?
That's an interesting question. I mean, it's funny because I once posted a video about, I do not like the sensation of a beard. And then I had so many people commenting on it saying, the beard is their favorite sensation. So it's just all personal preference.
Yeah, right. Turn Me On Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I feel like there's, I mean, you know, there is a great. I mean, I'm saying this from feedback that I've gotten, but there is a very broad difference between beard and stubble. I think stubble is probably, if you're going to like take a survey universally, or somewhat universally kind of, not preferred. It even hurts me. Like a stubble hurts me. Like it's totally. Fucking like 50.
It
grit.
Looks
like,
great, but
yeah, doesn't feel good. Not even a kiss, you know, I can't even,
yeah.
I can't even kiss without.
Gotten face like rug burned from stubble before when my partners have it. So it's like just that happening on the vulva isn't going to feel good.
There's another thing too about the facial hair, whether it be stubble or beard. I was actually reading this. I was covering this on Sick Boy not too long ago, but there's like real cleanliness concerns when it comes to facial hair and. I mean anything, whether it's kissing or whether it's, you know, going down on someone, but a beard or stubble, can be, it's a breeding ground. If you are not properly cleaning your facial hair, you know, for dudes out there who are listening, who may or may not know, you really want to keep your facial hair fucking clean because it's just, you know, it's like if you were shoving food up your ass every four times a day, like you're going to want to be cleaning your ass. Food gets dirty. food breeds bacteria if you don't clean it.
I love this point because one of the questions that popped into my mind just now is like what the consensus is if you've ever chatted with people about, so say you're a beard owner is giving oral sex and then specifically I'm going to say to a vulva because of how wet it gets. And then there's like face kissing after that. Like, is there, you know, I've been in different places with it where it's like, I'm so in the moment. I'm so turned on. I'm so horny that it doesn't even register that this person's facial hair is now wet. and then there's sometimes that I'm like, I can't. Like, I need that situation toweled down before there's any making out because I just don't like some, I don't know if it's my hormones on the day, but there's days where I'm like, I don't want that flavor. I don't want that wet, scratchy, like beard on my face, you know, that situation.
I mean, totally personal preference, I would say, you know, I know there's there's guys out there that like cannot fathom the idea of putting their tongue in their partner's mouth after they have gotten a blowjob, which that, I don't know. I don't understand it, but I know that that is a preference. I don't know. I feel like if you haven't tasted your own cum, you are a loser. I think every dude should just, you gotta like, you gotta give it a little.
You smell your own armpits. Yes, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Do a taste check to make sure what your partner is tasting is not absolute dog shit.
Yeah,
like drink your water, you know, so it's not like dehydrated, I don't know, spicy.
Yeah. If your cum tastes like jalapeno and you don't like it, well, then maybe you're going to figure out a place to put it. That's not, you know, unless your partner really loves jalapeno cum. What about how to take nudes? This is something that I feel like everybody who isn't used to it just has no clue. I know I'm fucking, I can't even imagine how just cringe my nudes are. So how, you know, like what are tips for a good nude?
Yeah. Well, number one is confidence. Cause like you said, everyone just feels, I don't know. I think, yeah, there's something about nudes that, I mean, it's so vulnerable. Oops. That's so vulnerable. Yeah. So it makes people really second guess themselves. But I think once you take them, at least for me, and I actually see them and see how maybe my partner sees me, it's like, it's also just a huge confidence booster. So have confidence and then let it give you confidence. But the biggest tip is just know your lighting. Lighting makes the biggest difference in the world. Okay. It's, you know, no one's going to look good with that like scary movie flashlight, you know, lighting where the lighting's coming from below them.
Yeah.
try to use instead of that harsh lighting, some natural light. I love using like a window and having the window either in front of me or to the side of me. And if it's to the side, it looks a little more noir because it like highlights the shadows. But yeah, just knowing your lighting, because, you know, soft lighting makes everything look softer, whereas like harsh lighting in real life, I don't like, because I feel like it's like, oh my God, I look a little better blurry, you know?
Yeah. The last thing you want is your nudes to feel like they've been plucked off of like a Wikipedia medical page.
Yeah. Or like a stock picture for a photograph or for a frame in Target, just minus the clothes.
Yeah. Right.
are there angles, like, are there things? So when I think of like taking nudes, I'm like, okay, there's like obviously like boobs and butt, but like, are people into like super like leg spread? This is my vagina. Like, is that a situation that you exchange?
There's a lid for every pot. Yeah,
definitely. I think everyone should have a ring light, whether you make content or not, you know, just have a ring light so you have somewhere to put the phone so you're not holding it, or the camera, so you're not holding it. And then, yeah, I do think that test your angles in that ring light. I think doing a little side angle is always cute with your like butt facing back. But then also, if your partner likes full vag, just likes, and you're comfortable with them, spread them out.
Spread them wide, yeah.
And do you, so I also like, I used to like, doing like videos and then capturing, like screenshotting the stills. I find that is really helpful if you're not feeling confident, because
it also gives you more, you know, you can set your shit up. You can you have like the opportunity to test shit out. You know, it's like, you're not holding the phone and having to like
go back and look.
Nothing worse than like trying to take a selfie or whatever. And then like, You've got that, I don't know, like maybe you took a Ventolin puffer and you're all fucking shaky, and then you know like you just click it, the click makes it a blurry shit. It's like, yeah, set your shit down. That's clutch. The other thing with the lighting I'll say is, if you have like hue lighting or smart lighting, not only would it be great for taking photos, but also really fantastic for mood lighting in your own space for having sexy time. I love, like, I'm just a color lighting. I mean, you can see it in this space. Like, it's just, I love having control over color and light. The more control, the better. The other thing too, that I'll say about the photo thing, I just thought about this as you said, Abby, like the confidence piece and how important that is. I feel like a good way to overcome that side of things in a fun way is to like take nudes with your partner, right? So it's like having your own little photo shoot sesh where maybe there's some like lingerie that you bought and you guys have a Polaroid, or, you know, you're using your phone or whatever. It's like taking photos together. I think that's probably also like a really great way, because then you really get to see what your partner is seeing. Like, totally. Maybe your partner's directing you, like, hey, I want you, like, do this, or I want to see you in this light. And then to see that back, as long as your partner's not just an absolute fucking atrocious photographer, you're probably going to get some stuff that looks really great. And everybody gets to be a part of it. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah, 100%. I think even if you're on your own, treat it like a photo shoot, like blare music that makes you feel sexy. Yeah. Just get... wear lingerie, get into the mindset where you feel sexiest.
And then keep them in a private folder on your phone, or a hidden folder on your phone.
Or bring them to Staples and print them off.
They still do that at Walmart too.
Does Walgreens have a rule against that, I think?
yeah, good question. I don't know. I mean, there's... Yeah, how does that work? I mean, we're so past that stage in this era.
But, how are they going to stop you? You're developing your own, right?
Yeah. Well, for when we turned 21 in college, we made like shot books for each other, and they all had like embarrassing pictures in them. And a lot of those included us, like, you know, naked and drunk or whatever. And those pictures didn't get developed. I don't even think that's the right word still, but it's Walgreens was
Oh, they
bound.
Did, and they're in the pocket of some
yeah,
teenage
or
boy.
They kept them. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I just Googled it. Is it illegal to get pictures developed that show adult nudity? To get pictures developed that show adult nudity, like if you go to CVS or Walmart or Rite Aid and get the pictures developed, someone said it's a gray area and I suggest not taking them to Walmart.
Oh, no. Fair. What's that person been through?
Fair point. I would love to. There's a couple more things that I would love to kind of touch on. In regards to stuff that you're kind of putting out there in terms of content. But before I do, one of the things that I did notice while going through your Instagram is the sort of like tricky ways in which you have to mask your messaging in order to evade Big Daddy Zuck so that you don't get whatever shadow banned or just full on fucking 100%. You know, have your shit deleted. So like an example would be one of your posts was how to owe when you're being stuffed, and I think you even like opened that post up by saying something about like Thanksgiving turkey being stuffed, and so like I guess, you know, I feel like this is one of those things that's constantly shifting. You know, it's like OnlyFans models were basically finding ways to like only frogs, or, you know, like different words to state like, hey, this is me promoting my thing. Or even like sex, like there was a long time there where like everybody, even like professional sex educators were using the word segs, and stuff like that. What is, you know, you have quite a following and this is something that you do quite regularly. So like, how has the landscape changed? Is that something that you have to constantly think about? And is it something that's constantly changing where you have to alter what you say or what your captions say in order to kind of bypass that fucking stupid filter?
It's so stupid. I honestly, actually, every time I think I'm doing okay and have maybe gotten around it, something happens where I learned that the rules are just as archaic as ever. And like 2 days ago, my YouTube was deleted just fully without my warning.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. Because for sexual content, and it's something where I've appealed it, but I don't think I'll be able to get it back. And so I've talked to other sex educators or pleasure positive people, sex workers. It's so frustrating because it is your livelihood. And all you're trying to do is just teach. Like they say the reason it's so important to teach kids these real words is if something happens to them, they can describe what happened to them. And so it feels so backwards to be like, how to eat a banana, like to call things bananas, flour, you know, all that stuff. And it is just a really frustrating thing. And I don't think anyone, myself included, has quite figured out the rules yet. Because I do think they're changing, but I don't think we're ever in on it. It's just trying to guess and not get in trouble is what's happening. I wish I knew the answer to all that stuff because it's just really frustrating. And I'm just tired of in my real life saying to my fiance, because I have it so in my mind that it's called a banana, because that's what I say online. I'm tired of being like, give me your banana. You know, like he's like, we should call this, you know, a dick or whatever. And I'm like, my brain has been rewired thanks to the internet.
Yeah. It's one of those things that like, I mean, we literally just stopped posting to our Instagram for a while because it's just exhausting. So I can't imagine what, you know, we passively were using our Instagram. I can't imagine how fucking frustrating and how exhausting it must be for people out there like yourself and, you know, others that are doing like actually valuable, important work when it comes to sexual education, which is something that none of us have been given, right? So you're not going to get it in school. So where are you going to get it? You're going to turn to the internet. And there's people out there that are putting out stuff that is like not harmful. It's the opposite of harmful. It is harm reduction. It's like valuable. It's important. And to just have to like jump through these fucking hoops because it's on a platform that has put out these insanely, like you said, archaic rules where you're not allowed to say, you know, the proper way to give oral sex, yet somehow you can see, you know, a family of three get run over by a fucking train. And that's like not that crazy to see. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I just, you know, I mean, we're preaching to the choir. It's one of those things that's like, you know, eternally frustrating, but it is fascinating to hear how you have to like jump through those hoops, you know, like you have to be like one step ahead of the algorithm or you know, four steps ahead.
Right. Cause then the algorithm gets used to sometimes the words that you say, like how everyone was saying sex for a long time. Then the algorithm learned that that is sex. So then you have to create a new word.
Just constantly. Which is how words end up in Urban Dictionary and sometimes make their way right into the fucking Oxford.
And that'll be a funny one to look back on one day, you know, in 50 years and people are like, what's S-E-G-G-S? And it's going to be obsolete by that point. But it was like vernacular that was invented to avoid the censorship. So I'm so glad you raised the point about like child safety, because we've had conversations about that and the value of like age appropriate sex education for young people for that exact reason. Mm. And I always feel like when I bring that up with other people, I have to like explain what I mean, but it's so clear. It's like if a kid says to their teacher, like, someone grabbed their banana and the teacher's like, well,
go get it back.
Yeah. I don't really see the problem with that, you know, and doesn't say anything, then that's the kind of shit that literally happens. And it's like, just,
it also just creates more shame around sex if you can't say the actual words, which is exactly what the sex educators online are trying to combat. Ooh. It's like, have shameless sex, but I actually have to say have shameless spicy time, you know, which makes it then in turn seem kind of shameful because I can't actually say what it is straight up.
Yeah. Shameless smush.
Yeah. The smush room.
One thing that I would love to talk to you about is flirting. Something that I am and have always kind of been totally I am flirt challenged for sure, and yet I say that and I'm told that I am the opposite, but it's like
I don't know it
so in particular though, not flirting from like the standpoint of like going out flirting with someone that you've only known for 5 minutes playing a game of pool with or something at a pub. I want to talk about like flirting in long-term relationships. Mm. Because I think that a lot of people get involved with someone, honeymoon phase, you know, wraps up in a year, maybe two if you're lucky. And then maybe that like that spark just kind of dissipated. It's not really there. And you sort of forget, like, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, but like, you kind of forget, like, what, how do you flirt? Like, what is the way to be, to, you know, entice romance when you've been with someone for so long? So what are, you know, do you have any tips on flirting in long-term relationships?
Yeah, definitely. It's so funny. We actually just had the horny housewife on the podcast a few days ago, and she was talking about this exact subject where it's like you almost have to make the, it's like the same way you have to choose your partner every day and choose to love them, you have to like choose, you have to also make that choice to be flirty. And a good way to encourage that is to try new things with your partner constantly, because that can help bring the newness feeling back in your relationship. So that can be like trying new things in the bedroom or going on different dates together that aren't just like the same spot for dinner every night. And it gives you something to kind of poke your partner about in like a loving way, or, you know, guess what it will be like, then talk about what it was like after. I also think something like really sexy and flirty to do is to just talk about sex really openly and talk about what you're excited to try with your partner, if that is a new thing. And then afterwards, talk about what you liked about it. And that inherently is flirty and will lead to more flirtiness.
Mm, okay. And what about what about couples where talking about sex in general is like, again, coming back to like the shame of sex that exists, that sometimes finds its way into relationships that have been around for a while, even though they're having sex, you know, they've got a good, good, quote unquote, good sex life, but maybe the communication around sex is a bit of a sticky point. Whether that brings conflict or it brings, you know, feelings of like, I don't know, insecurity or ickiness or whatever.
Yeah, there's some ways to bring up sex more often with your partner if you want to be able to talk about it more. And then hopefully that leads to flirtiness. One of my favorite ways is the I read about it method, which is actually more of like I saw it on TikTok method for me personally, at least. But saying like, hey, I just read this thing in the New York Times. Choose your fancy newspaper.
Right. The more legitimate,
Scientific American.
Yeah. About how couples who like try, you know, new things in the bedroom are more likely to be together and especially or stay together, and especially couples that talk about those new things that they try. And then that opens the doors to a conversation. Basically, the little white lie that you read about something and then insert what it is you want to be able to talk about. But my partner and I personally, we do a date night jar and a sexy date night jar. So we, every 2 weeks, will pick out a new date to try together, like bowling at a new place or, you know, skydiving, whatever. Hopefully we never pick that one out. But and then we also pick out of the sexy date night jar, like Abby gets handcuffed by Jesse, or we try a butt plug, whatever it is. And that's also a good way to bring up sex, obviously. But you have to be able to, I think, be having those conversations before you can get to the point where you're making a sexy date night jar. So I think just using I statements, saying that you want to talk about sex more because you heard it's good for the relationship and it can lead into bringing that flirtiness back. Sorry, I just talked for like, I think an hour. I have so many things I could say about it. And so my brain went into like five different directions. So hopefully that all made sense together.
I love it. The like date jar or the sexy date jar. So you're like writing a thing on a piece of paper, putting in the jar, and then every set date or, you know, day of the week, you pull from it and go, okay, like we're doing this.
Yeah. And cool. We run the sex things by each other first, because you obviously want to make sure everyone's on board. The Xander and Vanessa, they have a book called Sex Talks. I forget their last name, but in that book, they have a list of a lot of they have a book, Sex Talks, that helps you bring up sex to your partner. And tells you how to bring up sex to your partner. But two, it has a list of like maybe some new things in the bedroom to try with each other. So that's cool. Where we got a lot of our new bedroom date night ideas.
Sex Talks, the 5 conversations that will transform your life, from Vanessa and Xander Marin.
I'm not sure how you pronounce their last name.
That's very cool. Yeah, I love that. We'll put the link to that book in the show notes. Very cool.
I'm gonna get a copy of that. Yeah, that sounds like great.
That's cool. I love that. I love the idea. And I love gamifying at like pretty much anything, you know. I just think it's so, it's just fun. And that is like a really easy, fun kind of way to gamify dating or gamify, sexy time. Just pull a thing out of a hat or or whatever, you know.
I like that you have to make that jar together as well.
Yeah. Decorate it. You know, make it fucking. It's just an old bottle of like a 2-liter bottle of lube.
I'm picturing. I'm picturing too with the date. Everything's written on popsicle sticks, and you just like keep them and you draw a popsicle stick. Yeah.
Hey, that's a great idea.
I wish it were that aesthetic.
That's great. Write it on a popsicle stick. Fucking get a freezer pop tray and make popsicles, and then you gotta like
date pop.
You know, suck on the popsicle. To
yeah,
that's flirty. Reveal the date.
All right. Hey, you know what? I think I'm learning
something.
That's flirty in itself. That's awesome. But I also just love the date night and sexy date night jars because it's so easy to get like bogged down by life and be like, we can't have, especially we just got a dog. So like, which I'm acting as if it's, I had a child, but I feel that way, but it's so easy to get like so in our own heads and distracted by what's going on in the world. Or like if you have a dog that sleeps in the bed with you, so easy to not initiate sex because you're petting the dog instead. And so it's nice to have just those set moments that, you know, you'll go on a date, you know, you'll have sex.
I love that. Yeah. How can people find you? I mean, I know we've talked about Vibe Slut on Instagram and Rack Girls Podcast, but where can people go to follow you, find the work that you're doing, and or maybe even like see you perform? Are you still doing stand up?
I'm unfortunately not still doing stand up. I got way too comfortable being behind my screen, and now I'm like, the social anxiety is so real.
Totally.
to go back and perform, but. They can find me at Vibe Slut on Instagram, and from there they can find all my Patreon, where we have the Smut Book Club. All my workshops are on Patreon, which is, you know, the how to be on top, how to give a blowjob, how to up your libido and desire, et cetera, et cetera. And then they can find Rat Girls Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Fuck yeah. Sweet. Abby, thank you so much. This has been a real delight. Thanks for just dropping all the knowledge. I love it.
Thank you for chatting. I love chit-chatting about sex. It's my favorite.
All right, there we have it, folks. Hope you enjoyed that conversation that we just had. And thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the podcast further, you can do that by leaving a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can simply rate the podcast on the Spotify mobile app. And if you want to support the podcast even further than that, which you can.
Wow.
You can
go to so kind and thoughtful and so generous.
So generous. Go to patreon.com/turnmeon to become a patron and help us keep this podcast afloat.
Well, if you want to reach out to us, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com is always open for all of your messages. That's the best way to get in touch. If you have a question for us, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you have a recommendation for a guest on the show, or if you just want to send us a little love note, email, money transfer, all of that.
Sex toy.
You know, we're our email inbox is open to you.
That is it for this week. Until next week.
Why don't you go touch yourself?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.